WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel's cabinet is expected to convene tomorrow to decide whether to approve the ceasefire deal in Gaza. After a delay, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says issues are to be expected.
I'm very confident that this is moving forward, and we'll see the start of implementation of the agreement on Sunday.
As strong winds temporarily weaken, crews work to contain Los Angeles area wildfires. And L.A. County Sheriff Robert Luna says some evacuees are being allowed back into certain Palisades and Eaton fire zones.
Please be patient with us. We know people want to get back into their neighborhoods, but we're talking about people who have passed. And that's not always a good thing to talk about.
The voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, Bob Uecker, has died at 90. He lasted six seasons in the big leagues, but it was movies and commercials that garnered Uecker an even bigger audience.
Good seat, sir. You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row. Come on.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is encouraging homeowners and schools to test their properties for radon this month in honor of National Radon Action Month. Radon is one of the leading causes of lung cancer in non-smokers and is a naturally occurring, colorless, and odorless gas. Health officials estimate 1 in 10 homes in the state have radon levels above EPA standards. DHS officials are also reminding residents that their local radon information center may be offering reduced-cost test kits throughout January. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has launched a new outreach campaign to highlight the risk of menthol tobacco products. According to a press release, DHS officials say about 9,300 people under 18 in Wisconsin will try cigarettes for the first time each year, half of whom will start with menthol cigarettes. Officials are also warning about targeted marketing of the products in communities of color, leading to higher rates of smoking prevalence. The DHS is running a digital marketing campaign to expand public awareness. The fifth annual Sink the Kiwanis Can contest is officially underway in Rice Lake. The yearly contest features an 8-foot metal can off the shore near the Moose Lodge and asks residents to choose when the can will sink into the water. A number of cameras with clocks have been placed around the area to make sure residents can see exactly when the oversized can sinks. Entries for the contest must be submitted by March 15th, and the three closest guesses will win a cash prize. The winners will be announced a few days after the sinking. The city of Rice Lake is looking to ensure residents and business owners are clearing their share of snow on their properties as they shirk those duties more consistently. According to city officials, some residents and businesses have been neglecting their sidewalks for too long. To protect pedestrians from slipping and falling, city workers have been forced to pick up some of that slack. The Rice Lake Police Department will now begin issuing citations for failure to remove snow and ice, with fines starting at $114. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers GM on Jordan Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference saying wide receiver Christian Watson has not had surgery yet for his torn ACL. The Packers GM asked if Jordan Love took a step back this year at quarterback.
Obviously, he went through some things this year, battled through some injuries that he hadn't done that before. Came out the other side of it and was really proud of him, how he went through that. And he's leading our team exactly how we want him to do it, so I'm excited about it.
And baseball remembering Bob Uecker. Born in Milwaukee, served in the military, played catcher in the big leagues before calling Brewers games for 53 years. Uecker at his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know. And my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
Bob Uecker had suffered from lung cancer the past 2 years. He was 90 years old. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild for the season, lows in the upper 20s. More clouds and warmer tomorrow, highs to the upper 30s and breezy. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. High only 10 Saturday, below zero Sunday. It's 28 degrees right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Our friend Matt Rothschild will be in the guest hosting chair next time, along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, and Brittany Merlot, talking owls and birds. Join them.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight here on a Thursday, the Christmas Eve day of the week. Is that how you said that, Conrad?
The Christmas Eve of weekdays.
Of weekdays, yes. That's very well done. He's not the best color commentator in the business for nothing, folks. That's my little Bob Uecker line, if you were my sidekick in the booth. Coming up at 7:35 to talk about a cultural movement in Northeast Wisconsin, Wendy Dzurek and Trig Rude will join me here on Nightlight. And we have a top secret, special secret undercover guest coming up in just a few minutes. His name is John Egan. And he is a comedian, and he hosts another Brewers podcast. We'll talk to Bob. We'll talk to John about Bob Uecker. Right now, we have just a few more minutes with our friend Arthur Ersink, who is the creator of Wisconsin Foodie. The new season, its 17th, drops next week on PBS Wisconsin. So that's exciting. Arthur, thanks again for your time tonight. Great to connect with you again, as always. Do you eat healthy, or do you ever have moments where you're sucking down Mountain Dew and eating Red Dye 40 and Doritos?
You know, there's limits, right? So, you know, I think all in moderation.
Okay.
You know, I'm not a big soda drinker. So I've got that going for me. I've got a sweet tooth. Like, you know, any like gummy bear is just like my Achilles heel, is my weakness. And, you know, the other thing is, so my son plays like just every youth sport you could imagine. So literally when I'm not doing anything with Wisconsin Foodie, like when we jump off this call, I'm going to hockey practice.
Wow.
You know, I spent the last weekend in Chippewa Falls. So while I've learned my lessons, I will collect, you know, I'll bring a bunch of good snacks with me. At the same time, I find myself at like Culver's, you know,
right.
Random spots. And like whatever team we're on, everybody kind of knows, like I'm the guy that knows where to go for food. So like, you know, luckily enough, like they give me the responsibility to like seek out the good food that'll host like, you know, 15 parents and, you know, 12 kids and, you know, that's not always easy, but that's like my skill. That's my special skill.
That is a lot of pressure. And if it's youth sports, you're going somewhere almost every weekend, probably. So
yeah, man.
Dropping some serious coin too.
And winter.
right.
The best is I try to coordinate Wisconsin Foodie shoots and like sporting events. So like, you know, if I'm up in Minocqua for like a baseball tournament, I might spend the next couple of days there with the kids and we'll go to a supper club or something. And I'll have, you know, they can be in the background eating steaks.
That's great. So the last time you were on the show, and when we talked in the past, we talked about healthy, like game day or Super Bowl snacks. Do you have anything you could recommend where it's kind of healthy, but you don't sacrifice too much taste?
Were we did this last year now at the same time? Wow. A year goes by fast. Oh my God. I felt like it was a couple weeks ago, but you know, I may have given you this same exact answer last time. Maybe
that's
not,
okay.
Like I am like, you know, during the holidays, I'm like the charcuterie board guy. Like I get excited and it's just not even the holidays. Let's say Super Bowl because that's coming up.
Yeah.
When I come over, I'm bringing like my five favorite cheeses. I'm bringing a couple salamis. I'm bringing like a couple pickles and like everything local, right?
You know, nice.
So that's like, that's my jam. And, you know, I'm not going to say I don't like chips. Like I'm a junk food, snack food. Like, man, I've got a weakness for that kind of stuff, especially like, you know, the Japanese snacks. I'm like, it's just that stuff's crazy to me, you know, but I would say that, you know, if you can support local, you're buying local, you buy a local cheese. Not only are you buying local cheese, but like literally it's going to be like, if you, let's say Marike Gouda, you go buy a piece of Marike Gouda cheese, you bring it over to your friend's house. Not only are you going to wow them with the quality and the taste of that cheese, but you're also supporting somebody in your own community,
yeah.
You know, and you're buying the best of the best. So I find it's like really a valuable experience for me to go out. And it's like a form of love for me, like for the family or my friends, for me to go out and to collect these beautiful products and bring them over and share them with friends. And like, and the beauty, like when I do that too, I get to tell the stories of the people that I know that made these products and how were they made. And I think there's something so valuable to wrap it all around, Pete. It's all about the story, right? Once
yeah.
you know the story behind the food you eat, there's no going back, right? There's no going back. So I think it's a really valuable experience to understand where your food comes from you know, watch what you eat. That's my slogan this year is watch what you eat, because, you know, it makes all the difference in the world when you know the people and how the people making it and how it's being made and how you support them by just buying their product.
That is very well said. And you're right. It doesn't have to be ultra healthy, but if it's a whole food or something local or you know where it comes from, that's just a huge win. Arthur, thank you so much. You know, we have a lot of mutual friends, and I've heard from people all around the state how hard you work, and your success is so well-deserved, my friend. Keep up the great work, and thank you as always for your time.
You too, man. Your show is just blowing up, and I'm so proud of what you've created here. It's not easy to create something. And you've done it. You've done a hell of a job. And I love seeing your graphics pop up all the time of your different guests. So I'm just honored to be a part of it. So thank you for having me back. Maybe we'll see you next year for the next Super Bowl.
I hope we talk before that, because my mouth is watering after thinking about all this food now. So we'll hopefully
anytime.
Do it before
that. We'll get
that.
You out on one of these shoots with us. We'll have you be a guest. How about that? I'm gonna figure out how to get you as a guest on one of our shoots.
Oh, I'm there, man. You just name it. I'll be there. Thank you so much, buddy. Have a great night. And good luck with the 17th season. That's really cool.
I love it. Thank you so much. Visit, you know, one more shout out.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube and subscribe to YouTube. That's where all of the shows go. That's where everything's on. I promote people to go to YouTube because it's an easier place to find new stuff, old stuff.
Oh,
hit that
great.
Subscribe button. And that's the future of Wisconsin foodie. So
there you go.
Thanks, really appreciate it, man.
Anytime, buddy. Thank you again, Arthur. And yeah, check out Wisconsin Foodie on YouTube, you guys. It's such a great show. If you haven't seen it, to me, it's like makes you want to eat healthier. And the story behind the food is such a great angle to come at this. It's just a brilliant idea, and I'm not surprised he's had as much success with the show that he has. So great stuff, and thank you again, Arthur. So do we have John? Is he on the phone? Oh, fantastic! All right, this is our top secret surprise guest, folks, who I've been naming all night. John Egan. He is a very funny Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian, and he also hosts another Brewers podcast, and he's here joining us now on Nightlight again. Hey, John.
Pete, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm fine. I'm in the middle of Major League.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I didn't know, like, what kind of mood you'd be in. I know what a huge Brewers fan you are, and even people who aren't Brewers fans love Bob Uecker. I mean, the guy is that's another stratosphere of not worship, but fandom, right? When you have fans from everywhere, even if you don't follow the team he announces.
Yes, it was a, as they say, Mr. Baseball, so everyone loves him. Even Alex Rodriguez, who on X posted that Bob Uecker, a classic Cleveland legend, which is still up. He has not deleted it yet, which is hilarious.
Like he just thinks that Major League is real or what? What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's where he did all his work. And so no one decided to let him know or text him and update
God,
that
that's
tweet.
Great. He just thought there was a camera crew that captured him in action doing what he does for the Cleveland. Were they the Indians in the movie? Was that their team name?
They were, yeah.
Okay.
They were the Indians.
Absolutely. Wow, that had to be a huge get. Just getting MLB to say, okay, you can use one of our actual teams. You don't have to call them like the Wildcats or something.
Yeah, yeah, and they filmed a lot in Milwaukee and have a lot of Chicago actors and improvers in that movie. So, yeah, it was a big thing.
My buddy Bill Leff, who has been on the show a few times and is the host of Tune In With Me on MeTV, was one of the fans in the crowd with other Chicago Second City actors. And my friend Skip Kerperis was next to Euchre in the booth. He was the color commentator guy who Euchre kind of made fun of.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
He's a really good comic, cool. And I'm going to try to get Skip on the show next week. I can't believe I didn't think of that earlier, but he'll be a great guest. And he spoke glowingly about Bob Euchre, like he truly loved his experience. Do you have any Euchre stories, John, or you just want to tell us what you loved about him or what made him so great? You're one of the biggest Brewer fans I know, even though we just met.
Yeah, so my minor interaction with Bob is one of my mom's cousins actually married one of his kids originally. So I have a very distinct memory of going to the wedding of and then my entire family, and especially my uncle, who basically the job was to try to stalk him, and then, you know, because everyone still had the cameras, we were to develop the film and take pictures, hoping that he's in the background somewhere so that they have historical evidence of being at the same wedding as Bob Euchre.
That is pretty cool.
So there's just random pictures of him in the background talking to people with my uncle, smiling, being like, I'm kind of here in the picture.
Was he doing the chicken dance in any of the pictures?
Unfortunately not. No. Oh, it's more of the mingling type thing. I'm sure there would have been a little more attention if he did that, but for me, it was my whole life. I grew up with him, so listening to the Brewers all the time. I even just posted this that, you know, I would even plan my gigs or driving to and from my gigs, hoping that around Brewer games, so I could listen to him.
Wow,
like it
nice.
Was just that one of those things. It was it was therapy almost, basically.
You know, there have been some great announcers. John, and I don't follow baseball as much as I used to, but I loved Vin Scully. I always felt like his voice just absolutely matched the baseball picture. It was a perfect union. Harry Carey could be funny, kind of obnoxious. Euchre, to me, was so unique because he played the game, but also did play-by-play. What do you think made him so unique and sets him apart?
Well, I think just because he could switch it on and off. So, he was always the guy who goofed around and had the story. It's about, you know, Bratz. I know he did Usingers and all those promos in Miller Lite, but he was a really good commentator when it came down to it. So,
yeah. You
know, he would always be joking around. He was always known for using that edit and cough button to say the craziest stuff, but also he could do the play-by-play. So, I mean, every home run call, if you just, you know, YouTube it, search it online right now, it's perfect. And it was just great what he could do. And he just knew he was so self-deprecating. And it's one of those things that you forget in life, especially nowadays with social media and outrage and politics, that when he started out and what he always was, it was just be funny. Like, don't let anything else happen. Just do your job and be funny and entertaining, and the rest will work out. And it's just just be good. Just make people laugh is key.
And that's probably a pretty different approach than a lot of guys who went to broadcasting school have, right? I mean, that's really unique.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, he just learned that, and he got thrown in the booth and just started doing it. And, man, it was just – because I actually just finished his book, Catcher in the Rye, spelled W-R-Y, a few months ago. So that was, you know, it was just very
great.
Cool to just, you know, to see everything that happened with him and how involved with him. And I forgot he was involved with, the NFL and did segments for them and was on Sunday Night Baseball, and he was just everywhere.
Hey, John, can you give us another minute or two on the other side of a very quick break here?
Oh, sure.
All right, fantastic. John Egan is here. Another Brewers podcast. Check it out. We'll be right back. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Comes with no surprise to me with another guy.
Here comes my baby. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Bridget from the 818 says, rest in peace, Bob Uecker. Great job in Major League. And that happens to be the movie that our guest currently is watching. And he took time out. He put it on pause long enough to join us here on Nightlight just for a few minutes to share his memories of Bob Uecker. So John Egan joins us. Check out his podcast, Another Brewers Podcast. Am I getting that right, John? Where can people find that?
Yeah. Just anywhere, you know, Spotify, Apple, okay. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find it on there. And it should, you know, it starts with A, so another, so it should be okay and pretty easy to find once you start typing it.
Right, perfect. Where do you rank Bob in the, not to say you could say who the best of all time was, but in terms of uniqueness, there really wasn't anybody like him, was there?
Oh, no, for sure not. I mean, it was just one of those guys where he transcended that game where, you know, to become friends with Johnny Carson, to do WrestleMania, to do all that stuff where, yeah, no other random commentator is doing that. Like, you will not see the current Brewers announcers. I mean, well, Brian Anderson does, you know, NBA and NCAA. He's really great, but no one's doing movies or, you know, those random things. Maybe Dan Patrick with doing some Adam Sandler movies now and then. But a lot of guys, yeah, just aren't doing that well-rounded, you know, comedy chops thing.
Yeah, and he was the sitcom he was on, too. Was it Mr. Belvedere? I mean,
yes.
The guy acted, too. He wasn't, you know, it's not like he was really playing himself. He's just had such a unique career. I'm just kind of in awe of the guy, and I wish I had had the opportunity to meet him. So rest in peace, Bob Uecker. John, thanks so much for your time tonight. Check out Another Brewers Podcast. John is the host. He does a great job, and he's a very talented comedian. You got any dates coming up, John, you can share with us?
I think one with you in February. It should be the big one, right? Is that what you meant? Is that what you wanted me to
do? Well, you know, that's kind of a charity event, and you're going to do great. That's going to be a fun night. February 1st, it'll be you and Jessica Phillips and Johnny Beaner, and I'll open the show. It's going to be a really fun night up there in Marinette, Wisconsin. But if you have anything else you want to promote, now's the time, buddy.
Brewers Raptor out on X and TikTok in most of the places. Otherwise, next weekend, I'm in Negaunee, Michigan, Friday, and Sheboygan on Saturday. So
fantastic.
That's where I'll be.
What about a website, or do you prefer socials if people want to follow you?
No, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, John Egan stuff has it all. I have link trees on my socials as well, which will bring you to anything you need.
Awesome. Buddy, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of Major League. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Pete. Everyone.
You got it. All right, that's John Egan talking Bob Uecker. So let's get, we got some texts we got to get through. Were you able to find that commercial, Conrad?
Yes.
Is it ready to go?
Yes.
Oh, let's hear. Okay, this is a Miller Lite commercial Bob Uecker did. This was really my first. I said I read a book with Bob Uecker stuff in it. I thought the guy was really funny. I was probably 10. So I knew who he was. But this, I think this commercial is the first time I ever saw him actually performing on camera. And he wasn't being an announcer. He was just being Bob Uecker and playing Bob Uecker to a T.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my life here from Miller.
Down it,
I love them. These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
I must be in the front row.
Come on.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer and less.
Good seats, hey, buddy. He missed the tag.
So, I don't know if you guys remember the last shot of that commercial. He is literally like in the nosebleeds and nobody is around him. So he just played that great character too of not getting. He's like the Rodney Dangerfield, at least in that ad. It was very funny. And we've got some great texts. If you want to get in on the Uecker stories, you can do that. Our question of the night is, what is your fond, what do we say, Conrad? I don't even know. What comes to mind when you think of Bob Uecker? Share your story, one you've heard, one you've actually experienced, if you met him. That's what we're talking about tonight. David Lynch also passed away, a Wisconsinite for a while anyway. Lived outside of Madison. You can share your favorite David Lynch movie as well. We didn't really put any David Lynch stuff together. I heard about that literally right before I went on the air. But Bob Uecker, the texts are coming in. Annie from the 920, she's in Watertown, says, some sports guy ran into the elderly Uecker at the urinal. Apparently Uecker having some difficulty, so this guy asked if he could help. Uecker, yeah, sure. You want to hold it for me? That's pretty ornery. I could see Uecker saying that. That's very funny. Thank you for the text, Annie. Annie could have made that up too. If you want to make up a story about Bob Uecker, I'll even read that as long as it's respectful and not slanderous. And anyway, Jameson from Pennsylvania, that's the 814. He says, I know most people will say Major League is talking Bob, if talking Bob movies, but his small guest role in Futurama still makes me happy. Wow, I didn't know he was on that show. That's a great text. Thank you, Jameson. We have to, so our buddy Mike Rowe worked with Bob Uecker at some point because Mike was one of the executive producers of Futurama. That's a great, I'll have to look for that. Maybe we can find that for tomorrow, Conrad. You got enough room there to take a memo?
It's the book's getting big.
You know, you're taking.
But it's also. You know,
they're pretty small post-its. I think you could fit that memo on one post-it. One memo per post-it. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, I watch Wisconsin Foodie when I can, looking for, oh, how do you pronounce this word? N-D-U-J-A. Nuja? Conrad's no help on that one. Neither one of us know. Nuja to make that beef burgundy. Oh, that's it. I'm telling you, folks, if you have not seen Wisconsin Foodie, check it out. Thank you, Mark from Prairie du Sac. We'll save Steady Eddie's text for after the break. No, we got time for Steady Eddie, right? Conrad, how are we doing? We okay on time? All right. Steady Eddie says, Pete, I listened to Bob Uecker on the radio broadcasting Brewers games for half a century. Mr. Baseball would entertain me and make me laugh. Never met the man, but he's an old friend. Gonna miss you, Uke. Steady Eddie. Very straightforward. See, Eddie knows when to be funny and when to just be sweet. And that was a great text. Thank you, Eddie. And I totally agree. Chris from Janesville says, multiple brothers met him a while back. My brother got his autograph, then looked at Bob and said, just a bit outside. Bob responded with a questionable look. And my brother, who is only 42 at the time, says, thanks for using my saying. He just looked at my brother and thanked him. That sounds so awkward. I love that. Kate from the 715 says, never heard of him. Great. Thank you, Kate. Thank you for your honesty. Tom from New Berlin says, no streaming, Mr. Belvedere. Really? Interesting. Sometimes that happens. I bet it'll show up somewhere, though, Tom. Annie from Watertown says, Pete and Arthur run around the state for these popcorn entrepreneurs. Yes, Annie. Annie always has great text. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We'll be back to talk about a cultural movement in my hometown with two of my homies. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. As the legislature's Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee continues to hold $50 million allocated for mandating reading changes in schools, officials say the money could end up added to Wisconsin's budget surplus. Act 20, the law mandating the change in how students are taught to read by switching to a phonics-based model, was passed in the summer of 2023. Officials now say if the funding isn't released by June 30th, it will be put into the surplus. Some Republican lawmakers say the Department of Public Instruction can't be trusted to spend it. As congressional Republicans push for cuts to Medicaid, a new report found that nearly a third of the children in Wisconsin's rural areas have coverage through the program. According to the report from Georgetown University's Center for Children and Families, the percentage of kids enrolled in the program in rural and urban areas is just about equal. 32% of kids in rural areas and 33% of kids in urban areas have coverage under Medicaid. Health officials say without the program, many rural families would be uninsured or underinsured. A Chippewa Falls supermarket will be permanently closed in the next couple months, leaving 45 employees without a job. According to paperwork filed with the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, the Family Fair supermarket on County Highway J near Lake Wissota will be permanently closed in March. The layoff notice letter estimates the affected workers will have their employment terminated between March 16th and 27th. The Family Fair supermarket on Bay Street in Chippewa Falls was not mentioned in the notice. As the historic Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls is set to close, Jake and Dick Leinenkugel say they're attempting to buy the facility back. According to a statement released on Wednesday, the brothers attempted to enter into a non-disclosure agreement with Molson Coors to begin discussions about acquiring the brewery. The company rejected that NDA on January 6th, and the brothers say they've attempted to follow up on the possibility but have not received word back. The brewery will close this week, leaving 56 employees out of work. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Stand-up comic Bill Burr shared opinions on the catastrophic LA fires during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, like only Bill Burr can. After saying he was tired of people on the internet sitting at home in their underwear suddenly becoming fire experts, Burr attacked insurance companies, saying they will keep the people's premiums and give themselves bonuses, insinuating that they are the actual looters. John Cena's likability is off the charts with John Cena fans. The sometime actor, sometime wrestler will host a new talk series. Variety reports that Cena will host a 4-episode talker called What Drives You and will interview guests like Logan Paul, Jelly Roll, and Travis Barker in their favorite cars. This is a really original idea that was even more original when Jerry Seinfeld came up with it. What Drives You will air January 21st on the Roku channel. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild for the season, lows in the upper 20s. More clouds and warmer tomorrow, highs to the upper 30s and breezy. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. High only 10 Saturday, below zero Sunday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it? I mean,
things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going...
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday is the last workday before the Trump administration takes office. We'll ask our Friday Week in Review panel if the nation is ready for what's next.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
not too late if you want to get in on the fun of our question of the night. What comes to mind when you think of Bob Uecker? We've had some really outstanding texts tonight, including a great story from Arthur Ersink from Wisconsin Foodie and John Egan as well, host of Another Brewers Podcast. We will read your texts on the radio if you send them in at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the stream as well or on the app. There are a lot of ways to get a hold of us here at Nightlight. The important thing is just that you get a hold of us in the most appropriate way possible. All right, we are going to turn our attention to something that is very important and near and dear to my heart. I feel like, you know, we talk about movies and TV and comedy and music on this show on a nightly basis. And I feel like Wisconsin has some great artists and great culture for the most part. Here in Northeast Wisconsin, especially in the Marinette area, specifically in the Marinette area, is what we will be talking about tonight. There's a group called the Association for Community and Culture. They were formed in an effort to help save a beloved theater space and repurpose other facilities on what was the former UW Marinette campus, which became the UW Green Bay Marinette campus. Here now to discuss these efforts are two of my homies from the Marinette area, Wendy DeZurich and Trig Rude. Welcome, you guys.
Hello.
Great to have you. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you for including us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I feel like this stuff is really important. You know, we talk about film incentives on the show from time to time that people are trying to enact in the state. And I feel like those are great. But I feel like from the ground floor, culture in the arts has to be important. And we have to build a culture in Wisconsin. You guys are doing that in Wisconsin, in Marinette right now. And full disclosure, my mom, Amy Schwab, is involved in this endeavor. And you guys are working closely with her. And that's how I became aware of it. But I really applaud your efforts. So before we get into the goals of the association or the ACC, let's discuss where things are at with this beautiful campus that sits right near the water in beautiful Marinette, Wisconsin. Where are things at with the property?
Trigby, do you want to take that?
Sure. Currently, the university still has a lease with Marinette County for the what we would consider the main campus facility, the main building, the library, and the art center, the theater. The university already got out of the lease for the pool and gym. So that's now Marinette County's property, okay, with the pool association leasing that from the county. So the theater is still being used. The main campus building and the library have been scuttled, and they're empty buildings. So that's where we're at.
It's so sad. And I think that's why, you know, but hopefully some good can come of this. You guys in the ACC, the Association for Community and Culture, what is your goal with the buildings? And what are you guys trying to accomplish in regard to the county board? And what are you trying to establish in that setting?
I guess our goal is to maintain some level of culture in our community. The outcome, we don't know exactly, because we are trying to work through a grassroots effort by having friends join the association so that we can come up with the collective wisdom of the group to determine what is the best direction. Now, not everything will be viable only because the county, we learned last night, and I think this is anybody in the Marinette area knows this, the county does have some funding issues like every probably state entity. And so they have to make decisions, as the county administrator told us last night, between miles and miles of road or spending money on the campus. So we have to come up with an idea that will be viable and probably sustain itself versus requesting funds from the county.
So what suggestions, Wendy and Trig, do you prefer Trig or Trigvy?
Trig's fine.
Okay. What kind of suggestions have you gotten so far, and what have really sparked interest with you guys as the leaders of this committee?
I think we last night, and I'm speaking only because I collated all the suggestions that came in, and there were probably 40 or 50 suggestions. And they when I looked at them, you could clump them together by different areas of interest or areas of focus. So, and Trig, jump in if I miss any, but there are a lot of ideas around creating some type of an educational environment out there, working something with research. So what can we do with research? That came up. The let me think of what else was on that list. A lot of arts and culture ideas. And then a lot of ideas around like incubating businesses, small businesses, different businesses, and then getting local nonprofits to relocate to that facility. So those were like the big ideas that came out of last night's meeting.
Does the fact, you guys, that there's this great theater, this great space, the Herb Williams Theater, I thought at one point that was profitable. And I only know this because my daughter's been part of Theater on the Bay productions for years. But that makes money. Is that the goal? Is just to get, like you said, is to sustain itself? And how do you play on that? Like, you've got this theater that makes money. Do you do more productions? Do you find, I know one of the options was the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration potentially setting up an office there. Can it be different things like that on the campus?
I think it has to be. There has to be more than one use, unless you find somebody who's got a lot of money that needs a lot of space. I think it almost has to be a combination of things. Again, we're just kind of in the early stages of this in getting folks' ideas. But
right.
To try to occupy that whole space by one entity, I think is going to be pretty tough. Currently we're, I'll say, safe with the theater building. The UW says they're going to stay involved in that. And so it's being used currently. And it's actually, there's a lot of stuff going on there right now. I follow along and there's more stuff happening at that theater building right now than there has been for a lot of years.
And it's ultimately up to the county board, correct, in Marinette, like what they decide to do. Are you guys trying to get them on your side once you have your ideas? What's the procedure moving forward here?
Yes, we are trying to work with the county board to help them understand that there are a group of committed people out there that can assist them with coming up with that idea. And we learned some more details last night from the county administrator. There is a grant opportunity for the campuses that are closing. And I believe that the Marinette campus has an opportunity for up to a $2 million grant that can be utilized to incubate or support the idea. So that would be something that we would like to offer support with. What viable opportunities can we present to the county that they could potentially use to write for that grant?
My guests are Wendy DeZurek and Trig Rood from Marinette, Wisconsin. They are part of the Association for Community and Culture, a group that has been formed in the effort to save a UW campus, branch campus. Do you guys, is there anything, a lot of these campuses have closed around Wisconsin. Are there other movements happening around the state that you know of similar to yours? And is there any benefit in sort of reaching out to them and seeing if anything can be done collectively?
We are following those other campuses, and some of them have their county or whoever the body is that oversees those campuses or owns the property. They have, I think John LaFave last night said there were one grant in the hopper, but it wasn't approved yet. And he shared that campus was raising the buildings and looking at putting something else on the campus. So while we're following them, we don't know that it's what would be best for Marinette. Every community is very different. So we're called the Association for Community and Culture because we care about the cultural piece in our area. And I think sometimes people get lost in the idea that it's just Marinette, the city of Marinette, but it's Marinette, it's Menominee, and it's the counties. And that's 65,000 people, thanks to Trigvi calculating the numbers for us, that benefit from that area and can take advantage of those opportunities if they want to. So we really want to be that place where you can come and enjoy culture, and however that's defined by our community. Currently, it's through the forms of, you know, theater and musical performances most often, and art. There are some art shows that take place.
You guys had this big meeting last night, and you had a turnout of around 80 people, which is pretty impressive. I mean, you mentioned 65,000 people, and that's a shock to me, because I think of Marinette Menominee, I think of, like, you know, 18,000 people. You throw in Peshtigo, you're looking at 20, but I'm sure with the county and other cities, 65,000 is more accurate. That's a good turnout. What has the response been when you try to pitch people on this idea? Are you getting generally a positive response? Are people in favor of more culture?
I certainly see that. You know, we've got a lot of work to do to continue to have friends join our group, and I don't think that's going to be a real hard task. We just got to keep working at it, but people are interested in it, and, you know, people have ideas, and that's what we're all about. We want to hear the ideas that people have so that we can kind of be the clearinghouse for that and then present that to the county.
Go ahead, Wendy. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, just to follow up on that, there isn't a week when I'm out in the community that somebody doesn't approach me and ask me about the ACC. What is it? How can I get involved? Sometimes they have ideas, but it's become a pretty organic opportunity, I guess I would say, where people are hearing about it and coming to us, which is really nice.
That is nice. And I'll say, just if I can armchair suggest something here, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and, you know, anything you can do with parents empty their pockets for their kids, whether they're going to theater productions or hockey or ice skating on the weekends. If there's something with kids, it seems like that's the perfect, because parents will spend money on that stuff when it comes to, like, a sustainability issue. So I'm sure you guys are getting tons of great suggestions. And I wish you luck. I don't have $2 million, but I have $23 in an offshore account that the government can't touch. I'm happy to donate that to the cause.
We will gladly take it. And I'm going to write down your suggestion as well.
When do you guys need, when will this come to fruition, or when will you have an answer as to whether or not you can proceed, do you think?
Do you want to speak to that, Trigvi?
The lease that the county has with the university can be ended by the university in the month of June.
Okay.
It doesn't mean they're going to. They could continue it for another year. If it does happen in June, the pressure is really on us. The pressure is on the county to find a source of money to keep running that. It's going to cost the county roughly $300,000 a year just to keep the place heated and, you know, the things you have to do so a building doesn't crumble. And again, you know, money's tough. So anyway, back to your question, you know, we're going to have a meeting, our organization, next week, and discuss what happened at the meeting last night. And then we will have a meeting before June for sure with the public again, to kind of summarize all the things that folks suggested for us and bring that back to the public.
That's outstanding. We have about 30 seconds left. I appreciate your time, you guys, and I wish you luck. Where can people find out more information? Do you have a website, or where can people go if they're interested in supporting the cause?
Yes, we definitely have a website, and you're going to ask me the address, and I don't know it right off the top of my head.
Can they Google something?
Unfortunately, we are not Googleable yet because we haven't gotten enough traction.
Okay.
But we do have a website, and we do have an email address, and they can certainly reach out to Trigvi or myself.
Okay.
And we will definitely, if there's a way we can get you some information, we will get that out there.
Outstanding.
Your mom is definitely the person that is getting all that information out there for us.
Thanks so much, you guys. I'm sorry we have to run. Good luck, and we'll be following. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All bye-bye. Right.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Things that I've done, this has always been number one, baseball. The commercials, the films, the television series. I could never wait for everything to get over to get back to baseball. I still, and this is not sour grapes by any means, still think I should have gone in as a player.
He's down. Swinging a drive. Right center and deep. Get up. Get out of here. Gone for Fielder. He just hit a walk-off, and this one is over. Oh, what a shot.
Vaughn, a juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his major league debut.
I'm going to light your ass up, meat.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off is that close?
That's Bob Uecker. Some of Bob Uecker's highlights. Such a unique career. Nobody that I know. I know there have been other sports announcers in movies at times or on talk shows, but to do sitcom work, movie work, announce baseball games, do commercials, and just kind of do what he did was just a fascinating life and a very unique story. We'll have more about Bob Uecker tomorrow. Mike Clemens joins us tomorrow night at 6:35. We will put a bow on the Packers season and see what we can look forward to. The NFL draft is right around the corner. We'll ask Mike about that and ask him his thoughts on Bob Uecker as well. And this is exciting. Next Tuesday, Skip Kerperos will be on the show at 6:35. He was the guy next to Uecker in the booth for both Major League films. Skip is a Chicago comedian. Very funny guy. We'll get his thoughts. He had a great time working with Bob Uecker. Skip will be on the show next Tuesday night. And then tomorrow, again, we'll have Mike Clemens at 6:35. Meredith Jumisco. She's the marketing director of Visit Kenosha. She'll be on the show tomorrow night at 7:05 to discuss an upcoming event. And Bar Band Friday Night resumes tomorrow night with Max Inc. radio host Terry Barr. Terry will be back after taking a couple weeks off for the holidays. We missed her. Conrad, you said if you want to get a text in quickly, you can, folks. We still have time to read it. What comes to mind when you think of Bob Uecker? Pretty simple question, talking about one of Wisconsin's own. What comes to mind when you think of Bob Uecker? You can get a text in just under the wire. We've got Christine from Slinger who is checking in. She's in the 414. She says, some young player asked Uecker, what about you, Bob? Do you do Twitter? Uecker says, no, I take medication for that. Classic Bob Uecker. He will be missed. And another was part-time Wisconsinite today. David Lynch passed away. Lynch was the creative force and most often the director of Mulholland Drive, The Straight Story, Blue Velvet, Lost Highway, Wild at Heart, the show Twin Peaks, which has just gotten re-released on Blu-ray. Were you surprised to hear they were coming out on Blu-ray? Re-released, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Blu-ray is kind of dead now, I feel like, right?
I have a Blu-ray player, but I don't know where it is. It's in my house. Honest to God, like, yeah. I think people just like having a physical copy of something.
I guess.
Because it is weird. I do own a few movies that I could only purchase at the time I wanted to watch them, so I own them. I don't even know how I would access them. Like, I guess I just sign on to whatever streaming platform I purchased it, but even then, you're clicking on stuff and scrolling, and I wouldn't even know how to find it. But David Lynch created Twin Peaks, a massive cult following, directed the first Dune film in the 80s. And I think I said that Blue Velvet was the first thing I saw from David Lynch when I was a kid. That's not true. I saw Elephant Man in the theater, and I literally started crying when the Elephant Man was on. It was just a phenomenally touching film, and we've got a bunch of ne'er-do-wells knocking on my window. Well, I'm trying to give a nice David Lynch soliloquy here. But anyway, the youth of Green Bay, they're the same ones that run their mufflers really loud because they don't have girlfriends. Anyway, David Lynch will be missed as well. So we got a fun show tomorrow night. We got another text coming in. Under the wire, people taking advantage. That's pretty cool, too. Annie from Watertown, again, says, what are the two words Uecker said at the loss of the final game of career recently? They are censored, so she says she can't find them. But you said, Conrad, you have his last words on his last broadcast.
Yeah, when the Brewers lost, he said, well, I can't lie, that one stung.
That's tough.
Or that one stings, yeah.
Those are Bob Uecker's last words on air.
Yep.
That's crazy. I don't know if that's what you were looking for, Annie, but that's what we have for you. So it sounded like kind of that's what you were inquiring about. Great show tomorrow night. As I mentioned, kind of a Civic Media All-Stars. Mike Clemens and Terry Barr will be here. Terry Barr will join us for Bar Band Friday night. I'm glad to be starting that up again. And we'll talk about a really cool event happening in Kenosha. We did not get to the Paul Blart clip we had. I will admit, I've probably talked about Paul Blart on this show way more than it's deserved. It was a cute movie, but I feel like we've talked about Paul Blart like four times in the last 3 months.
Well, do you see what year it came out?
Yeah, it dropped this week, right?
2009.
2009, okay.
Yep.
But we had a very funny clip. We'll push that to tomorrow.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to get to. So lots of fun tonight. Thank you to my guests, Arthur Ersink, Wendy DeZurich, and Trig Rood, and John Egan for popping on to talk about Bob Uecker. We'll have more Uecker talk tomorrow night with Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens. Thank you so much for your texts. Always more fun when you guys are involved. Another fun night here at Nightlight. We will be back tomorrow night to do it all over again. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Take me to your best friend's house. Mama Lane, we're making out. 93.5 The Tap. Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sweetie, come here. Don't worry. I see a lot of patients with the exact same thing.
Ever since the ice skating rink went in next door?
Or is it more than
Dr. Clark's business is heating up.
So many patients need my help. How will I find time to see all of them?
They need to hire a scheduler, stat.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The medical examiner says the death toll in the L.A. County wildfires has risen to 27. With less wind now, firefighters are making progress with the Palisades fire, now 22% contained, and the Eaton fire containment now at 55%. Some evacuees in those fire zones are being allowed to return, and CBS's Rob Marciano reports.
Thousands of structures have been damaged or completely destroyed by the firestorm. Now comes the arduous task of making sure these fire-ravaged communities are safe as residents and business owners start to return to survey what's left, if anything is left. Pesticide, fuel, and lithium battery